12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Everybody, welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 27. My name is Wes Otis, and I'm here with some wonderful players. Let us start with Sam.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. Here, you know, queer, playing Imani, she, her.
Hello, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns. And I'm also here and queer, and also playing Roberta Robbie Serios, they, she. I don't know why I said also. I don't play Imani. Alongside Imani.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her. We're both extraordinarily queer.
Hey, y'all. Mac here, and queer, and all of those things. And also playing Lenore Von Mori, a.k.a. Cass Richardson.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I'm not queer. And I'm feeling left out.
I still love you.
It's true.
I love you guys.
We won't treat you any different.
Thank you. I appreciate that. No, I love you guys. And yeah, I'm playing Belle Bellington. Bitch-o-matic.
Bitch-o-matic is perfect.
Oh,
that
my
feels
God.
Like it should be outstanding. A Missy Elliott song.
It sounds like it should be your new Instagram handle.
Agreed. Bitch-o-matic.
Bitch-o-matic.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, so this looks like a great place for a recap. In our last episode, you all had been reeling from a weekend of hell, dealing with Rose, dealing with war, talking with Bassett, and talking with Ra, talking with Hathor, and figuring out what you're going to do about this creature that showed up in the mirror a while back and seems to have a master that wants to, is basically playing with your dreams and giving you images that are horrifying all the time, like Belle being consumed on a dinner table, things like that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That was so gross.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Well, buckle up. It's going to get worse. So you guys had been dealing with all of this stuff, and suddenly you got a call from the studio saying, hey, you need to come in and finish this movie because this is coming out soon. We have to finish up a few more scenes before we're able to do the final edit. Meanwhile, Ebony woke up and found that she had aged a lot. And freaked out. Easter went and got Hathor, and Hathor said, well, you've helped me, so I will help you, but I'd like to have you as a bride. And the two of them became married, and Hathor gave her a symbol on her hand signifying that she was married to Hathor. On your way to the studio, you noticed a car following you, a black Lincoln. Meanwhile, Belle went to the police to talk with the police about Imani, or at least that's what she was thinking she was going to do. But then when she got there, she found out that they had found the body of Rose, and it had partially turned into a werewolf. So they're stretching their imaginations a lot, and they're doing a lot of like, well, it's just a weird looking dog kind of thing, because they're not accepting the fact that it's obviously a werewolf half formed and half eaten. It's gargling and on the floor of this jail. And that's where we're going to pick it up. Dave is standing next to you and you're looking at this half formed werewolf. Its face is like mid transition. So you can't really see much of Rose in it, but you keep hearing it gargling and trying to speak. You are in the basement. You hear the upstairs door open In a few minutes, Tony suddenly walks out of the stairwell and says, Dave, why are you showing her this? And Dave goes, she came in to talk about Amani and I'm sorry. I just, we found this at Amani's place and, you know, she's a newspaper. She goes, no, don't, you shouldn't show her this stuff. This is, no, just get out of here. And so Dave walks off and Tony goes, why are you here, Belle?
Well, originally I came here to see if there was a scoop or if I could help with the investigation into the murders.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave showed me this thing.
So I take it all that stuff you were talking about was part of this, whatever the hell this thing is.
You gonna take me to the loony bin if I say yes?
No, obviously. It's proof sitting right here in a jail cell. I'm not gonna do that. I have a theory. He pulls a gun out. He says, we've shot it several times, and it doesn't seem to want to die all the way.
If I can make a suggestion, silver bullet, and I'm not joking.
I said, already ahead of you. That's what I went out to go get. But I have some questions, and we have to make some decisions.
Like?
How do you want to deal with Amani? I think there's three different things we could do. I could just take care of her. That's the quietest. She just disappears. We have enough evidence to at least get her with some stuff, put her behind bars for a while. That would end her career, definitely, at least for a bit. Or, and he hands you an envelope and says, there's always this.
I open the envelope.
It's a bunch of pictures of Amani's BDSM shoots. They're obviously of her not knowing that they're being shot with her mask off. And he goes, we always take these pictures. It's good leverage if any of the girls decide to cause problems.
Belle just gets this smile across her face. The evil Belle Bellington smile.
He goes, this will ruin her career. She might not be in jail. She won't work again after this.
She had a hand. I won't say that. She could have stopped Rose from killing Johnny. She didn't. She could have stopped all of this, you know?
Well, you're right. The fourth option is, do you think she's redeemable? Do we let it all slide and just keep this in our pocket? I mean, there's no expiration date on any of this.
Let's keep it in our pocket for now. Yeah, I want to see what happens, but I appreciate you showing me the pictures, because I think that's something I want to keep in my pocket for a long time.
Well, you can keep those. I've got doubles. So I'm guessing this is Rose?
Yeah, it's what's left of her. Ooh, I've got a story to tell you later.
I have a theory. If we feed it, it'll come back.
I get that, but you won't be able to control it. Not this one.
Yeah, be nice to have an enforcer.
Nah, but not an insane one.
Could always give it a lobotomy.
Then you'd have a lethargic one.
True. Anyway, you want to kill it or do you want me to do it?
I'll let you handle that part. I just want to see if it works.
All right. He raises the gun up, shoots it a couple of times, and it stops moving. There we go. I'll have Dave clean this up.
Okay, good. And I just have to say it out loud. I know this is probably what you're going to do with it anyway, but make sure you burn it.
We're good at getting rid of bodies. We'll make sure it's dealt with properly.
And Tony, thanks for finally coming around, realizing I'm not nuts.
No problem. Finding a half-dead wolf thing in Amani's apartment definitely helped.
All right.
So where are you going to head?
I definitely want to get these photos in my safe.
Okay.
And then I guess I'll head to the studio with everyone else.
Let us jump over to the studio. The day is going well. Robbie, your Uncle Jake is just kind of sitting there with you, chatting with you between scenes, asking you questions about other films that you've worked on. And he says, you know, he goes, is it okay if I mean, I'm just seeing the last scenes here now. Can I see the script at all?
Yeah, sure. Robbie goes over to their desk and there are like 8 different piles of script pages. Because they never threw out the old ones. They just kind of, like, shoved them off to the side. So they're trying to, like, cobble together the correct version of the script. Ah, I'm missing 3 pages here. Is it this? No, that's the wrong one. And just kind of, like, pulling from different piles until they have the relative full script. I think this is most of it.
I see you're well organized. He starts to look through it. He goes, well, this is some pretty strong subject matter.
Yeah.
Are you worried that they're going to change it at all?
Well, I mean, what do you mean? I wrote it. These are the words that I put down, and they filmed the things that I put down. So how could they change it? They have it. Editing, but like...
Have you been here for every recording session?
Well, no.
I'm just saying this is pretty strong stuff. I'm hoping that they didn't mess with it at all.
I hadn't considered that.
It's going to be great, kid. Look, as you get more movies under your belt, you're going to have more control. So I just don't want you being disappointed.
How do you know all this? Did you work in Hollywood for a little bit?
No, but business is business. Like, companies don't ever want to do anything that is going to upset a large group of people, even if they're right. Even if you're right with the message. Does that make sense?
That's stupid. Why would you not want to know all of the information? If all of the information is available, why would you not want to have all of it?
Because it's easier to deny than it is to, face. Facing truth is really difficult, and a lot of people aren't willing to do it.
Well, that won't be the case here. That won't be the case here. Everyone said that it was good, and that it'll be fine. It's going to be fine, Uncle Drake. I've grown to know the people at this company, and they're really hardworking.
Good. I think it'll be fine too. And I'm sorry to have said anything. I shouldn't have.
No, it's fine. You know things, and I know things, and our knowledge may overlap in different ways. And I'm glad that you told me your perspective.
I'm just excited to see your name up on the screen. That's going to be really cool.
Yes, yeah, I am too. I mean, I didn't do it for the name thing. I did it for the story.
Obviously, but it's still kind of neat, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Have you talked with your parents lately?
I guess it's been really busy during shooting. I guess I forgot. Have you talked to them?
I haven't spoken to them in a few weeks. I talked with your dad probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he seemed to be doing fine. I do know that mothers tend to need... They're like plants. If you don't water them with a phone call every once in a while, it can be a problem.
I should do that. Maybe we can call them together and you can say hi.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fun. Definitely. So the day is going on. Just as Rose is being dispatched in the jail, Cass, you feel this strange sadness come over you. Like something that was linked to you is no longer on this planet. But you don't know what. You just get this sudden feeling that comes over you.
I probably just kind of put a hand in my forehead for a second and, shake my head a little bit and try to find somewhere to go sit down for a second.
So you sit down and Penelope sits next to you. Right now, Imani's on stage with Ebony and they're having this big scene towards the end. And Penelope goes, we really haven't had much time to have any kind of conversation that wasn't wolf related. Are you doing okay?
Not really. And also I'm suddenly feeling really sad. It's just everything suddenly seemed to dim in a way, if that makes any sense.
She gets this weird look on her face and she goes, well, that sometimes happens when someone you've changed dies.
Well, what is that? But who? I didn't.
The only person you've bit is Rose.
She... How could anybody have survived that?
She shouldn't. There's no reason why she should survive it at all. She should have been dead. She was dead.
Then why do I feel this way? Unless it's maybe something else?
I don't know.
I'm trying to keep up. I really am. Okay. But this is a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, I was pretty sure she was dead. So let's just say she's dead and chalk it up to maybe having a moment to think and getting overwhelmed with emotion. I think that that's what we're all having. Things just have gotten so big.
Yeah. By the way, maybe not the best time to bring it up, but Henri would like to meet you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, he's pretty happy for me.
He always seemed like a genuine person, like a nice person, even with his status.
He is, and he always has been.
Are you going to tell him about the whole wolf thing?
I mean, how can I?
Yeah.
He'll just think I'm nuts, and I can't prove it without, you know, the whole rawr thing.
It might be best if you don't tell him.
That's sort of my plan.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did you tell her about Sir Nunos asking you to get rid of that idol at Penelope's?
Shit, I feel like I know I asked about the idol. I'm trying to remember if I saw it. Yeah. And I feel like I asked about it. I did ask about it.
Okay.
I think I did tell her about that. I'm pretty sure I told her about it because I was asking, like, how bad is this, you know, creature?
Yeah. And she had indicated that not doing what he wants could end up him, like,
yes,
for lack of a better term, excommunicate you from the group.
Mm-hmm. Being punished specifically.
Punished. She goes, you know, what are we going to do about that idol that he wants us to get rid of?
I don't know. I mean, it sounded like destroying it maybe wouldn't be the best thing, but it's kind of an ace in our pocket if it comes to it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's true. All right. Well, once we're done shooting and once we deal with the monsters and the gods, I'd just like to go out to dinner.
Nothing would make me happier.
All right. Well, we should get back.
Yeah.
All right. Amani, you have been acting most of the day. Most of the final sequences are with you in it and Ebony. Some very gut-wrenching scenes of just heartache and bringing everything kind of home on what's going on in the script. And at some point, you take a break and you go outside to get fresh air, and you notice that Lincoln Continental outside the gate across the street, just sitting there, blacked out windows.
What to do? This is back in the day, so Amani has one of those long cigarettes, just throws it on the ground, stubs it out with the toe of her boot. I'm gonna walk over to the car and, like, tap on the window.
The window rolls down, and you see a young man. He's got a shaved head. He's got medium brown skin. He turns to you and goes, "Are you Amani?"
"What's it to you?"
He then quickly produces a gun, and you can hear the passenger side door open. Then this woman with pale skin, large brown eyes, and beautiful long hair in a white and red flowing dress comes around the front of the car and meets you where you're standing as this man who's still sitting there pointing the gun at you smiles.
"Who on earth are you?"
"My name is Elizabeth, and we have a mutual friend."
"Do we?"
"Ebony Belafonte, get in the car."
I'm going to attempt to run back towards the studio. And if not, then I guess my ass is just getting kidnapped.
Okay, so she's going to try to grab you. I need you to make a dodge roll.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me find dodge on here, which is half my dex. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's definitely a fail. That's a 68 over my 25.
So she grabs you and wraps her arms around you. And she goes, "I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. My last name is Bathory." And then she sinks her teeth into your neck and pulls you into the car.
No! I hate, my favorite thing is all of our face. You can't see mine, but mine is shocked, just like everyone else. And then there's Mac, like, ding, 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 with a thumbs up, just off in the corner, like,
"No, no, we're not bathing in anyone's blood. No,
we're
no.
not. Yeah, we're definitely not turning me into a poultice so that she can bathe in my blood and stay eternal."
Wes is going to make me go get my spray bottle.
Oh, fuck me.
This is terrible.
Okay.
This is terrible news.
This is...
I don't know.
If you do turn into a vampire, though,
that's pretty sexy of me, actually.
She'll look good forever. Yeah, that's not
honestly. That's pretty sexy of me.
Yeah,
party with a werewolf and a vampire is pretty cool.
Listen, I've been meaning to diversify my friend group. So
you got Scoobied.
You got Scoobied.
I did.
I will say though, she's kind of hot. She's beautiful. So
it's all the bathing in blood.
There are worse things.
Okay.
She could have been
Well, I am clearly not a virgin, so my blood should be tainted in some way, shape, or form. Like, it should not work for her. It should actually be very opposite.
It doesn't give her youth, but it does give her an orgasm. So there's...
Good to know.
There's a give and take.
Honestly, I'll take that. That's a win.
Yeah, that's a win.
Who else's blood can cause an orgasm? Just saying.
Who says tainted blood has to be a bad thing?
Tainted blood. Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, you get pulled into the car. We will get back to you. Ebony, you are in the studio. You're wrapping up your final scene. You see Robbie off to the side talking with her uncle. And, you know, Cass and Penelope are kind of close to each other, chit-chatting. And you finish up and... You look around and you notice that Imani isn't anywhere. She didn't have any more scenes, but it's kind of weird to you after everything you've been through that she just ups and goes.
I think Ebony starts looking around, asking like boom mic people and stage people and, you know, lighting folks if they've seen her, and tries to see if she can figure out where Imani has gone, especially knowing that I wasn't there for the conversation with Cass, but... I know enough about both women to recognize that it probably isn't a good time for either of them. And seeing Cass with Penelope, I'm like, okay, well, she's taken care of. Where's the other one?
So you look around and like probably the gaffer's the one that's like, oh, you know, I'd sort of go outside to smoke cigarettes and 20 minutes ago or something. I'm surprised she hasn't come back in.
Oh, goodness. Thank you so much. I was a little bit peckish for some nicotine myself, so I'll which door?
One on the west side over there. Any points?
Yeah, she tries not to look suspicious, but also is like walking really fast in kitten pumps and a little pencil miniskirt. So she's like doing this weird switch thing with her arms kind of pumping. She's trying to like really quickly get to the door. Breaks out the second that she reaches the handle.
All right. So you burst through this door and look out. Across the street, you see this relatively good-looking man with a bald head standing there. He's got a suit on, and he just waves at you.
I think Evie smiles slowly and waves back, thinking that must be a fan, and steps outside and like looks to the left and right to see if there's any indication of maybe where she might have gone. Maybe there's an awning she's under.
No, you go to the street, there's no car, and the guy calls to you and says, Miss Belafonte, I'm from the New Day Rejuvenation Center. I have some news about your friend, Imani.
Excuse me? What could New Day Rejuvenation want with such a young and fresh-faced ingenue? You should be leaving her alone. If you have something to say to me, say it.
He walks across the street, gets a little closer, and he says, Elizabeth has taken her because of what you did. And unless you give yourself up to Elizabeth freely, Imani will stay ours.
What? I insist you unhand her right now. I did not do anything to Elizabeth. She and I had this conversation. She didn't tell me that I wasn't to reunite the two souls. No one ever gave me express decisions about what I should or should not be doing. Perhaps if there was some kind of user manual, this wouldn't have happened in the first place. Take me to her right now, I insist.
No.
Excuse me?
I said no. Here.
Take me to her right now.
You can go yourself.
She stamps her foot.
Give me an intimidation roll.
What is all zeros?
That's 100. That's a critical fail.
Ugh, all right, fine. I break my kitten.
He goes, look, here's the address of where Elizabeth will meet with you. And then he looks down at your hand as you steady yourself after breaking your kitten heel. And he goes, that's a marriage mark of Hathor on your hand, isn't it?
I'm not here to be sized up by the likes of you.
if you ever want to see Imani again, go see Elizabeth. And then he just starts walking down the street.
I want to do something really shitty.
It's noir, so do your shitty thing.
Is there anything weird about this person?
Well, yeah.
Like, is there anything to see that can tell me something that I can use against them or that I can use when I get to my location?
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden roll.
Wow. Okay, it's going to be like that today, I guess.
Oh, no.
I got a 96.
Oh, Candace.
Yeah, just forget it. I don't do anything. He looks like a perfectly nice man.
It's dark. The moonlight's in your eye. It's all.
All right. Well, throwing both those sets of dice in the garbage. I think I just move on. I hail a taxi or try to see if my driver is somewhere.
So you go without telling anybody anything because you don't have a driver right now.
Oh, if I don't have a driver right now. Yeah. I mean, I think I immediately get a taxi. I'm really worried.
Okay. All right.
I would love to say that
you do the right thing and tell other people, but you just go.
So what I think I'll do is I think I'll leave my broken heel. I like throw it back at the studio. So if someone comes out, they find my broken heel, which I think is enough to tell them that something horrible has happened.
Okay. You do that. And let's jump over to Belle real quick, because I want to know. Belle, you ended up going back to the studio. All right. Give me a luck roll.
Excellent. 30 under my 45.
Okay, cool. Luckily enough, you arrive at the studio just as you see Evie jump into a taxi and drive off. You also notice that she's cattywampus when you see her, and you're like, something's wrong. And then you find the heel next to the door of the studio.
Can I make a mental note of the cab company?
Sure.
The cab number.
Sure. We'll call it Get You There Cab. You know, it's like patio furniture. Yeah. That's an actual place.
That Irish place.
That Irish place. That's an actual place in Arizona. So.
All right. So I go inside with the heel in my hand.
They're wrapping everything up. Everybody seems done. Jacques Couture is like, all right, everybody, that's a wrap. We're going to have a party at my house after the editing's done in 3 days. And then we're going to do viewing of it when it's all put together. Thank you all so much for your great acting. And thank you, Robbie, for the script. And
I think Robbie's been like hovering in his periphery, not like coming up to him, but like the kind of thing where you clearly want to have someone's attention and they're super busy, but you don't want them to forget that you're there. So Robbie's just like vibrating a little bit.
Do you say anything to him when he says that? Do you take an opportunity to say anything?
If it's in front of everyone, probably not. I think Robbie's trying to find a time to like privately be like, hey, did you fuck with my script? Except for in a less aggressive way.
I mean, he's running around. Everybody's running around. You can pull him to the side real quick and ask him.
Yeah, I think Robbie just starts like walking with him at some point. I just wanted to make sure that the days that I wasn't in the studio, nothing funny happened with the script or anything like that.
What do you mean, funny?
I just want to make sure I had the pages for you, that the pages that I gave you were the pages that you needed and the pages that were done.
Are you afraid that I changed the motif of your opus?
And not in so many words. I sometimes things get a little stressful on set, obviously, and I just wanted to make sure that my writing wasn't a cause of stress.
Robbie, dear, I will tell you something very plain. I hope that alleviates your stress. According to my conversations with Danny and the studio, I have made appropriate changes to your script to make sure that it is accepted by the salt of the earth of the South. We'll put it that way.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Because that could mean a lot of things. People in the South are, I mean, there are different kinds of people in the South. You can't just lump the South as one. There are many.
White people, Robbie, white people. I'm talking about white people. I'm making sure that the studio believes that white people are going to be okay if they see this movie. Now,
Why do we have to change for white?
Jesus Christ, girl, shut up and let me talk. Now, have I changed your script in reality? No. Of course I want the story to be the same, and I want the white people to see that story. It's an important thing for them to know what's going on, correct? So of course I haven't changed your script. I just told Danny I changed your script. Do you understand?
You're telling me two very conflicting things, so I obviously don't understand.
Okay, I will simply tell you again. I have told the studio that I have changed your script so that the people who would be offended by it won't be offended by it. I have lied to them, Robbie. I have lied to the studio so that your opus stays the same and they think they're getting one movie and they are not getting that movie. Danny is too busy running around doing other things for the studio for him to keep an eye on me all the time. So I fucked him, Robbie. I fucked him good. And you should know that. So instead of getting upset about it, realize...
Robbie hugs him.
Okay.
In the middle of the sentence, Robbie hugs him.
All right, good. I'm glad we're on the same page, Robbie. Now...
Why would you lie to him for me? That's so kind.
Because it's an important thing. People need to know what's going on. That's the whole reason to make the film. If you took out the soul of the film, what would be the point?
You are a true artist.
I know. Now I have to go. And he walks off.
Robbie, like, spins in a circle a couple times, just like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And then, like, speed walks off to try to find one of their friends this is the first good news Robbie has had. And these are the first people Robbie has wanted to tell anything good to. So I think Robbie is just kind of like on the search for a familiar face of a person who's been through, like, a trauma bonded person, I guess.
Yeah, probably more than likely Cass is nearby.
Robbie, like, almost crashes into Cass at the, like, speed and intensity that they arrive at. Shock lied to the studio for me.
Okay.
They said they wanted to change it for white people in the South, and then he didn't change it. He didn't listen to the studio, and I'm getting my movie, and it's gonna be what I wanted it to be.
Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm sorry. I'm a little preoccupied right now, Robbie.
Oh, no.
It's
what happened?
It's not that I'm not excited for you. No. I just
no. What happened?
There's kind of a lot going on right now, Robbie.
Right. No, you're right. This is, what do you need from me? What can I do?
Calm down.
We have to get that spear again. I'm sorry.
Take a moment to enjoy your victory. Okay.
I did. I enjoyed it. It's done. The joy is, it has happened. Now it has been in the past and that's okay. What do we need to do? I know that we're not done. I don't know. We're not done. So what do I need to do? What do you need from me? What can I do for you? Robbie's swung from like intense, like joy, excitement kind of speed to like intense, I need to help my friends kind of speed at like a pendulum of manic energy.
Time and place, Robbie. The studio is probably not where we should be discussing right. Others. Yes. Yeah.
Should I find the others? And she like mimes a spear. Should be like... put that somewhere because okay. I'm sorry. I'm asking you like you have all the answers. You don't necessarily have all the answers.
I can tell you that I don't.
At this time, I find them and I show them the heel. I go, Evie's in trouble.
Well, where is she? How do you know?
I just saw her drive off in a cab and this, her heel was at the door.
I've never seen her barefoot.
That you know, she wouldn't like, run off without her heel.
Especially not those. Those are very expensive.
Yeah. And it... where's Imani?
She wrapped a few scenes ago.
I have very few answers for anything going on right now.
I know she wrapped a few scenes ago. I just kind of assumed that she went to change and I guess I don't know. Let's go to... I'll check her dressing room.
Okay. I can make a phone call from there.
You guys search around and sure enough, both Evie... and Imani are gone. The thing about Imani, and I would even say Evie, is that their personal effects are still in their trailer. So like their purse or handbag or clutch or whatever is still in there. So that is not normal at all. And Buttercup is there as well.
She wouldn't leave without Buttercup.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to scoop Buttercup up. I assume Buttercup is the size of a teacup.
Yeah, Buttercup's pretty small.
I get on the phone and I call the cab company.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Hi, I'm afraid I left something in one of your cabs, and I just want to, you know, find out where it is so I can just meet the cab and get it. I just took it a little while ago. It's a bracelet. It fell off.
Okay. All right. Well, they just called in. They dropped the last location was in Beverly Hills. Let me call them. I'll tell them, you know, to wait where they're at, and you can go meet if it's that important to you.
It is. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Gives you the address. It's probably been a couple of minutes since they were dropped off, but they're still close in the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I look at the other three because I'm assuming Penelope's there.
Yeah, Penelope's there as well.
Let's get in the car. Let's go.
Everyone's very good at lying today.
Yeah, today. Let's get going.
Robbie, as you're heading out, Uncle Jake says, hey, I'm going to head back to my hotel. Here's my number there. See you later, ghost.
Okay, yes, thank you. There's a emergency on set that I have to be a part of. We can call my parents later.
Sounds like a good thing.
Okay, I love you, bye.
Love you, ghost. So you head out. All right. Ebony, you have arrived at this mansion. It's gorgeous, but it's not the same mansion that you originally showed up at the first time you dealt with the New Day Rejuvenation Center. It is Elizabeth's personal mansion, and waiting for you is one of her servants. You walk up and he goes, Evie, is nice to meet you. My name is Samuel. Priestess Elizabeth is waiting for you. And he opens the door.
First of all, that's Ms. Belafonte to you. I am not familiar with you. I have no idea who you are, other than some kind of lackey for a tired-looking vampire. Secondly, take me to her right now. I have a lot to say.
I am very sorry for my impropriety. Follow me, Miss Belafonte.
You should be.
He starts to walk you in. The mansion is huge. It's beautiful, well-decorated. Lots of Eastern European nobility pictures on the wall, probably family and whatnot. He takes you down a hallway, and it comes to a bare brick wall. And he pushes on one of the bricks, and the wall opens up into a small room. Looks like it's probably a old bedroom, and it's dark except for a couple of things of candlelight flickering. And Elizabeth goes, oh, Evie, come sit. We have so much to talk about.
Evie purses her lips, squares her shoulders, and walks with her chin held high in the room.
When you get in the room, you notice there's a second person there. It's Patty Wells. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
No!
What? What?
Wes, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Hey,
what?
Why, though?
What?
The
whose part was that?
Where's that fucking gif of Jesse Pinkman where he's like, you can't keep getting away with it? That is me to Wes right now. You can't keep getting away with this.
And she has bullshit magic, and then she can just pull someone's heart out and be like, this is mine now. Maybe that's what's fucking going on.
Oh, this is bad. This is real bad.
Why does she get to show up at the end? What the fuck?
I don't get it. Ma'am. It's not good.
Oh, this was a lot of fun. This was a fun episode.
Was it?
It was.
Was it fun?
Oh, thank you all so much for playing. I really appreciate it. And we'll have a lot to talk about in the after show for the Patreon people. But let's find out where all these wonderful people are. And since I was, well, it's hard because I was pretty brutal with Amani and with Evie. We'll start with Evie because the cliffhanger is the one she's hanging out on. So Candace, where are you at?
Hi, where am I at? I'm outraged. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace Magnificent everywhere else, and a variety of locations and stories around the internet. And I will be over here surly until you hear me next time.
So mad.
Yeah, Wes, I say this with all the love in my heart, fuck you. You can catch me, I guess, literally across interwebs at Lust for Life, LustForLifeX. That's where majority of all the stuff that I do gets announced and, you know, shouted from the rooftops. You can catch me on Saturdays at 8 o'clock p.m. on Transplanar RPG's Twitch channel or their YouTube, as well as by Connie Chong on TikTok, as well as we actually just finished up our midpoint for Arc 2 on Transplanar, and it's just of a wild fucking ride is this one. So go check it out.
Hello, I'm Lev. You can find me on Twitter at LegoM2, the number 2RS, or on Instagram and Blue Sky at lev.rs23. I'm part of Mayday Roleplay. We play a lot of different kinds of TTRPGs. Right now, we just closing in on the end of Orpheus right now. Also, Doomed to Repeat, our Delta Green podcast, is coming out monthly. And that's all I can talk about right now, I realize. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere online as at Strange Like That.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games and all the different socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12, and then Sided Stories on all the different socials. Check out our website and find our links to Discord and Patreon. If you want to help out the show, definitely join us on Patreon. We'd really appreciate that. I will continue my mountain climbing to find higher and higher cliffs. And we will see you next week on more 12 Sided Stories. Bye.
Bye.